Now, tonight's question that I want to cover, now it is an excellent question. It has to do with keeping your cares casted. That's going to be the title of our message this evening, keeping your cares casted. The problem is, and I think everybody has that problem. Sometimes we'll have cares come in our life, and what are we supposed to do with our cares? We cast them, and we cast them in the Lord. Now, on the Lord. So, of course, in order to cast something, if I'm going to throw a ball to Rick or whatever, to cast something, you got to do what with it? You got to let it go. You got to let it go. But oftentimes, what we'll do, we'll cast something. And a lot of times what all we're really doing is we tell the Lord about it. And we really haven't let go of it. And then our mind is still churning constantly with whatever the care might be. And everybody here's done that. Especially if there's a lot riding on whatever the problem might be, you still will pick that thing back up. So that's what we're going to cover. Y'all think that's a good question? I think it is a good question. So that's going to be our title for this evening. And we're going to title the message, Keeping Cares Casted. Now, I'm going to tell you in the beginning, that's going to be a battle no matter who you are or where you're at. You have to fight that battle. I do the same. Everybody here does the same. Especially if someone, you know, like when you're talking about sickness or someone's going through a hardship in your family, sometimes it's very difficult to leave things with the Lord. The Bible says to cast your burdens upon the Lord. And he will sustain you, Psalms 55, verse 22. And that's what he wants us to do. It would be hard to live in this old world here without having the ability to cast our burdens on him. But many times what I found out, and I'm sure that you found out, is many times, though we have that great, isn't that a great privilege to be able to give your burdens to the Lord? Isn't that a great privilege that we have? But you'll still find that though we have that privilege, we cast them. But yet, at the same time we cast them, we worry ourselves to death about them. So you don't get the benefit and the peace of God that comes by just really trusting in the Lord. And I think we've all done that too. All right, so let's go ahead and start into this with that little bit of introduction of what we're covering. I had several points this morning and moved rather quickly. I'm quoting and not turning it too so much so I can get a little bit more in a more reasonable amount of time. So I'm going to give you 5 points tonight. Let me give these to you in advance. Remember, the title is Keeping Cares Casted. Number one, we must expect coming cares. We must expect coming cares. That's the first one. Number two, we must keep ourselves strong spiritually. We must keep ourselves strong spiritually. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get there. Number three, sometimes we must recast because we pick it back up. Sometimes we must do what? Recast because we pick it back up. How do you know when you pick it back up? You'll know it up in here. Your mind will come back and you'll start the same worrying process over again. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. So sometimes you have to recast that thing on the Lord. So that's the third point. The fourth point is we must at times get a friend in Christ to pray with us, talk to, share. Sometimes you need a brother or sister in Christ to help you. Sometimes it's good to, especially if you're going through a tremendous care, it's good to get a prayer partner. You know, I might ask Rick, said, Rick, I'm going through a tough time. I want you to pray about this thing. I'm not going to go into any details with it, but I want you to pray about this thing with me. I'm asking you to do that. Lots of people used to do things like that all the time. Get a prayer partner. I mean, they're praying themselves, but then they got a partner that kind of watches out after one another. And I think that's a good thing, you guys. And you don't go around telling it to everybody else. They just want you to know about it. They don't want anybody else to know about it. But they want you to pray for them. And I think that's a good thing. So at times we get a friend in Christ to talk to and to share with. I'll talk more about that when I get there. And number six, these are in the back in the foyer. And it's got my name on there and my phone number. But on the back's the main thing on it. Six statements of strength. I want everybody to have one of those. Those are in the foyer in a box. You need it. And those six statements strengthen you. And you need to know them. Need to have one of these with you and put them into application. Get them off the card and in your heart. And it'll help you. Okay? Now we're ready to preach. I want to go ahead and give you that big introduction, and I'm going to try to move through it relatively quickly. Number one, we're talking about keeping cares what? Casted. Keeping cares casted. Number one, we must expect coming cares. You know, the Lord, beloved, never promised us that we would never have any hard times in this life. I think sometimes, subconsciously, because we're Christians, we think, well, everything's will be peachy from here on out. But that's just not true. That's not true nowhere you go. Now, I know there's some organizations that teach that, you know, it's always God's will for all these beautiful things to happen in Christians' lives. And God does do great things in our lives. But to say that you're not ever going to have a hard time would just simply not be true. And to say that you might not ever get sick is not ever true either. These old bodies get weak as they age, except for mine. I'm just strong as I ever was. No, but we all get weak with age, and it comes on and comes on and comes on as time goes on. It's just entropy takes over, and as you get older, you get sick sometimes, and even young people get sick. So we must expect what in this life? Cares. Jesus said it best in John 16:33. He said this: in this world, ye will have tribulation. All God's people said. Now, who said that? Jesus did. You're going to have it. And he's talking to his disciples in the text. In this world, you will have tribulation. Now, sometimes we don't have no tribulations. Everything's peachy and good. But there's a lot of times when the wind of tribulation blows in. And we face hard times and tribulations and hardships and things. That's just part of this old world. So we must expect that cares eventually will come. Can I ask you a question? Did Jesus face cares while he was here? Yeah. Oh, my. He faced a lot of cares while he was here. Many cares he faced. The book of Isaiah says that, here's what they call Jesus, or what the writer Isaiah wrote about him in Isaiah 53. In talking about Jesus, we used to sing a song along this line. It says about Jesus that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That's talking about who? Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. And a lot of times we sing those things and read those things, but man, you think about that. When he walked in this flesh, he experienced times of sorrow in his life here on this earth. He knows how to deal with it, though, doesn't he? He knows how to strengthen himself. And that's what we want to do. We want to know how to strengthen ourselves in times when hardships do indeed come. Now, when you think of those in heaven, those that are in heaven today, those are in our families and our friends that's in heaven today. Now, they don't have no cares. Did you ever think about that? I mean, we hate death, despise death. I can't wait till the day that there is no death. But when you're born again and you die, there is no more cares. And there is no more hardships. And there is no more pain. And there is no more suffering. All God's people say it. I mean, it's robbed death of its sting. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is thy sting? For a believer, there is no sting in your death. Death has actually, though it is an enemy, it's actually a friend too in certain situations, don't you think? You go off to be with Jesus, never be sick again, never be in pain again, never sin again. That's what the Lord has done for us, so we have a great future ahead of us. But while we're here, in this body, we can expect some cares. And nowhere in that book, in this book, does it promise you you won't. Not until you get there. Not until you get where? Not until you get to glory will you not ever have any cares. So, all of us is going to go through seasons. Hear me. All of us is going to go through seasons of tribulations. All of us. Not a one of us here tonight's exempt from going through a season of tribulation. But the glorious thing is God has the ability to strengthen us in our tribulations. If you have ever been strengthened in a tribulation time by the Lord, would you bear witness by raising your right hand? I just want to see. See, there is, we all have. So that's where you need to go. That's where you need to go in tribulation. That's not the last place you need to go. That's the first place you need to go as you go to Him. All right, you got point number one, we must expect coming cares. And Jesus went through them when He was here. He faced times of hardship. That's what I mean. He faced times of hardship when He was here. Number two, I think this next one's very important. It's something we all know, and it's very basic. But number two, we must keep ourselves strong spiritually, especially in cares. I want you to hear this. Many times when God's people go through cares, sometimes they will drift spiritually. Can anybody bear witness? Sometimes when you're facing a hardship or a care or going through a tough time, sometimes you'll drift. Sometimes you'll drift. There's a danger of drifting when you face cares. Now, I'm not sure how the devil does this or anything, but I think at times he can plant things in your mind, and especially I think he'll do it in times of cares. He'll come and whisper, I thought God said He loved you. I thought God said this. And they'll always question. They always seek to question. And when He's trying to raise questions in your mind, Mike, He's trying to raise doubt about God's goodness to you. Man, we don't ever doubt God's goodness. He loved you so much, He sent His own Son to come down here and die on Calvary for you. That's an all we need. That's minus all the other great things that He does for us. So we must keep ourselves strong spiritually. I'm going to tell you where this is at if you'll look it up when you go home. But it's in 1 Samuel 30 and the verse 6. And David was in a mess at this particular time. And a group of men come and stole his wives and stole all their food and things of that nature. And the men that was with David, his mighty men that was with him, they were hurting and they were ready to kill him. And he was their leader. They're ready to assassinate him, I guess. And in that trying situation that he was in, you read about in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. Here's what it says that David did. Are you ready for it? 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Can I say it one more time? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Do you know how to strengthen yourself? You got to know how to strengthen yourself. That's very important for God's people to know how to do that, especially because we're all going to face cares and hardships and things in this life. We can expect them because Jesus said to expect them. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But number two, we must keep ourselves strong spiritually. We must keep ourselves strong spiritually so that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. There's a lot of times, and here's how you strengthen yourself. You already know these are so easy. But you know, it's amazing how people don't do the easy things and the simple things. That really ain't they're easy and they're simple, but at the same time, it's where all the strength comes. Prayer is one of them. I can't number the times that I've been strengthened through prayer. Can you? Prayer strengthens my heart. When I get a burden, I feel it. Do you feel it? I feel it physically. I feel it physically. And I feel it mentally and spiritually. I feel it all the way around. And when I feel that way, I know right off the bat, as soon as I feel that, I know there's a sense of urgency that happens. I thought, man, I need to get alone with Jesus and I need to pray. And you need a lone place. Sometimes you might not have an alone place, but if you can just go somewhere where you can get a few minutes and pray. Sometimes I remember on the job, sometimes I do that. I'd go out and just get a few minutes and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. And pray. It don't have to be 10 minutes or an hour long. You can just make I read this one time. A guy talked about shooting these arrow prayers. And what he was talking about, little quick shots whenever you need to do it. And sometimes we need to throw up a quick one every now and then. It don't have to be long and drawn out. The Lord will hear it if you pray from your heart. We keep ourselves strong by praying. Do you agree? If you stop praying, you won't be very strong. Prayer is how you keep your strength up. You don't need to do it. You not only need to do it every day, but you need to have a formal time that you sit down with a list and pray. Pray for people. Pray for the church. Pray for the sick. Pray for those that needs to be saved. If you had a church full of prayer warriors and you had people doing the kind of prayer duty that they should do, you couldn't set them in here. That's how big of a deal that is. I think God blesses His people through the means of prayer. And I think God's people ought to ask. So, to keep yourself strong, you got to pray, don't you? We already know that. Because prayer is how we cast our care anyway, isn't it? Prayer is how we cast our care anyhow. Number two, here's another way we keep ourselves strong. Remember, David strengthened himself. I'm showing you how to do it. You strengthen yourself. You got to start praying again. That's where it all starts. People that drift, stop praying. Number two, you got to be in God's Word. You can draw encouragement. Have you ever drawn encouragement by reading God's Word at home? Raise your hand. You ever been strengthened by God's Word? So when you're going through a hardship, I know I need to pray. When I'm going through a trial, I also know I need to get in the Bible. And when I get in the Bible, I've been strengthened by being in the Bible, looking up. Lord will oftentimes bring you right to the right text that you need to come to. Prayer in the Bible makes you strong. Bible's how you eat spiritually. It's how you eat spiritually. If you don't eat spiritually, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if you don't eat physically? Tell me what's going to happen. You'll get weak, ain't you? Same thing spiritually. You got to read your Bible. You don't get so big and high and mighty that you don't need to pray. And you don't get so big and high and mighty that you don't need to read your Bible. We all need to do it. And I don't mean just read it. I mean study it. You know the difference between study and reading? A pen and a paper. A pen and a paper is study. You got a pen and a paper and you're reading your devotion and you write down what the Lord shows you. And as you grow in that, you'll be amazed how much stuff you get from it. Use your daily breads back there. There's a whole track full of them. Get them if you don't got it. Get that daily prayer, daily Bible study. Assembling is the third one. Do you keep yourself strong by assembling? You know, the devil does everything in the world to unplug you from God's house. He'll do everything in the world to unplug you from God's house. Everything in the world. But I tell you what, God's people needs God's house. And they need as much as God's house they can get. They need as much of it as they can get. There's messages that comes out of the pulpit that people need to hear. But they don't hear them. They need to hear them, but they don't hear them. You got to be here to hear them. So, assembling, prayer, Bible study, assembling. This is something that all God's people should do after they're born again. That's how you get strong. Keeps you strong, too. Number four, there's fellowship with God's people. Fellowship with God's people. God's people needs to fellowship one with the other. This is in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. And David was on the run during this time. And he had a friend by the name of Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son. And you know what happened? Jonathan went out into the woods or something and found David, who was on the run from his father, who the king of Israel was trying to kill him. And you know what it says that Jonathan did? It says he strengthened his hand in God. He strengthened his hand in God. He had a buddy that came and done that. And sometimes that's what you need, is a little bit of fellowship with God's people. You need to talk to somebody that loves you and knows the Bible and can strengthen your hand in God. I don't want to embarrass you, Eddie, but I'm going to anyhow. But I remember one time when I first become full-time, I struggled in the beginning being full-time because I was always used to doing what? I was always used to working. And then people say, all he does is sit over in that house. That ain't all I do is sit over in that house. It takes a lot of study to do what I do. And I do a lot of other things. Well, I got sick of all that stuff and I thought, I'm just going to go back to work. I want to go back to work. I can still preach. I've done that for 25 years like that. I can still do that like that. But I was getting older, see, and it was getting harder for me to do, especially the job that I had was the physical. Anyhow, well, what'd I do? What do you do in a situation like that? Well, I got so depressed, and you know what I did? I said, Lord, send me somebody. I need somebody to talk to. Lord, would you please send me somebody? I ain't kidding you. It wasn't 10 minutes later. There's somebody knocking on the door. Eddie Lovejoy. And he was all happy when he came in. That irritated me to death. I don't know why he's so happy. But he came in and talked. And was talking about things. And I said, man, Eddie, I think I'm going to quit. I'm going to go back to work. I said, I can do it still yet. But I said, I'm going back to work. I can't handle this no more, you know. I didn't like what people would say, you know, and I let it get me down. You know what Eddie said? Oh, I'd hate for you to do that. I would hate for you to do that, Pastor. That's exactly what I needed to hear. He left and was encouraged, and I was encouraged, I mean, and that was a brother. And it lifted me what? It lifted me up. I was in the place didn't need to be at that time. But it helped me a lot. I appreciate that, brother. I ain't gonna give you no money for it, but I do appreciate it. But that was a good deal. That was a good deal. All right, number five. This is still, we're talking about how to keep yourself strong spiritually. Pray, Bible, assembling, fellowship with God's people. Now, listen to this one. This will sound goofy to you. Every now and then you got to get out of the house. Get out in the sun. Get out and sit on your porch if you have to. If you can walk, walk. If you can walk a little bit, walk a little bit. But get out of the house. You'll get depressed in the house. All God's people said. Get out. Get out in the sun. Get out and sit in the sun. It's a proven fact by science. That if you get out in the sun, it'll help you a bit. I'm not saying get a sunburn or lay out in the sun, Dean. I'm not saying that. But just get out. Get out of the house. Go outside and do something if you can. But it'll help you. It'll help you. You'll sit in that house and you'll get so depressed. Get out. It'll help you. All God's people say it. That's two. We must expect coming care. Number two, we must keep ourselves strong spiritually. Number three, sometimes you got to recast things. See, the problem when we pick things back up, does anybody know what the problem with picking things back up? We don't think God can handle it. We all do it. We don't think we may think he forgot or something. Well, sometimes you got to recast things. Sometimes I'll pick things back up. How many pick things back up? Raise your right hand. Boy, oh boy. We all do, don't we? Because we're afraid God might not do what we. Hey, let me say, we're afraid God might not do what? What we ask. You see, when you're praying and you give him something, who do you trust? Do you trust your prayer or do you trust your God? I trust God that he will do what is. I'm waiting on it. I'm trusting God that he will do what is what again? Best. Sometimes what is best is not what I want. Could you hear what I just said? Sometimes what is best is not what I want. God knows what is best. And I trust him with it. I pray about situations and I pray about them until the Lord makes it clear that it's not his will. That's what I do. But I'll pray about it until then. We need to persevere in prayer. I think that's another principle we need to follow. But sometimes we must recast, especially if it takes its hold back on you again. And it takes, hey, here's what it does for me. I don't know if this works you that way. It takes so much in my mind that I can't sleep. It takes my sleep away. Have you ever had your sleep taken away? Raise your hand. I want to see. It takes your sleep away. You can't. You're rolling that thing, rolling it over. It's an affliction in your mind. It goes after it. It's the devil. And I don't know how he can do it, but he does. He'll seek to invade your mind. Much of the Christian fight is a battle of the mind. That's why I mentioned the Bible and the prayer and all those things you need to do to keep it from getting started. But once it takes root, very difficult to break it. It really is. So we must recast. Listen, beloved. This is in Psalms 103:14. You know why I'm quoting so I can get it all in. But in Psalms 103:14, sometimes I feel like I ain't nothing but a disappointment to God because it seems like we fail so much. You ever felt that way? I must be just a big disappointment. But you know what the Bible says in Psalms 103:14? It says he remembers that we are dust. All God's people said. He remembers that we are what? We just foul dust, really, really are. He made us and formed us out of the dust of the ground. And he remembers that. He loves you. He loves you. And his love ain't based, I think, now he really loves me today. I've been on a roll this week, you know. We've been on a roll serving the Lord. He really loves me. He loved you before the foundation of the world. Before he ever said, let there be light, he set his affection and his love upon you. He surely did. Not based on any good in you, because you were just as much a sinner as anybody else was. But he bestowed upon you his amazing grace. And I am what I am today because of the grace of God. And that's the only reason. That's the only reason. Sometimes we got to recast things. He remembers we're what? Dust. He remembers we're dust. And he loves us anyhow. It's not based on our performance. Number four. Number four is we must at times get a friend in Christ. I've done mentioned this one, so I'm going to move on here just a little bit. We need sometimes about somebody to talk to. Sometimes you need somebody to talk to. Y'all agree? You ladies, y'all got friends in this. You ladies are tight here at the church, and sometimes you need a Christian woman to talk to. They'll talk to you. You need someone to talk to. Sometimes you need someone to share with. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Sometimes you need someone to just share things with. Maybe you got something coming up and you don't want nobody else to know, and then you need to share. Number three, sometimes you need a friend to pray with, a brother or sister in Christ to pray for you. All these things is things a Christian friend will do, Christian brother or sister. God will do that for you. He'll indeed do that. Sometimes you need to go to a good, godly friend in Christ. I've had people do that before. I've had people show up to the house and say, Jeff, I just need a friend. I just need a friend right now. I said, well, come on in. Come on in. Sit down. Sometimes I need a friend. Sometimes you need a friend. We're not islands. The reason why the Lord places you in an assembly is because you need other people. Did you hear what I just said? Why he places you in assembly? Because you need other people. I want us to be tight. Tight. And I think we are, and I think we can grow in it. Number five, this is the last one. And this is the statements of strength. You got to apply the six statements. I think these six statements will always help you. Sometimes you just got to remind. We all know these things, but sometimes you just got to remind yourself of them. Number one, God is always with us. God is always what? He'll never leave you, nor. Now, I want to ask you something. Since God is always with you, and God has all power, then nothing can happen unless God allows it. All God's people say it. Now, I'm just reasoning it out. Y'all believe it or not? Since God is always with you, and since God has all power, there's nothing that can happen in my life unless my omnipresent God, omnipotent God, allows it. And if God allows it, then he has a good reason and a good purpose for it. All God's people say it. All right, I like that. Don't you? God is always with us. We'll never face, even when we go down to, y'all can go through a lot of things with me, but when my death day rolls around, God will go right through that with me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil. Why? Somebody tell me. Thou art with me. The shepherd goes right through it with you. Number two, God can do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or even. We limit God in the way we pray many times. There is no limits on his power. We think, boy, this is a big prayer, God. This is a big thing you're talking about, God. It's not big for him. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. Pray that way. Pray big. Don't pray small. Pray big. Pray big. God can do great things. Here's probably my favorite one. God is always in control, even when things look out of. God is in control, even when things look what again? Out of control. Number four, God always knows what He's going to do. We don't always know what we're going to do, but God always knows what He's going to do, and He always knows what He's going to do in your life too. All showing God's control. God has a purpose for everything He can. Hey, I want you to get this. I'm going to ask for another hand raise. God has a purpose for everything He permits, according to Romans 8:28. If you believe it, raise both hands. I want you to get me a both hander on this one. Both hands. Both hands. Amen. God has a purpose for everything He permits. Just the good? How about the bad? Did Joseph have a lot of bad happen to him? Brothers throwed him in a pit, wanted to kill him, sold him into Egypt, got lied on and thrown in jail. Did it all work together for the good? Yeah, he ended up being in command of all of Egypt. God has a purpose for everything He permits in the lives of His people. I couldn't handle this whole world without that, do you? Things I don't understand, I feel it all under God's sovereignty, Rick. I don't understand this thing right now, Lord, but when I get there, I figure I know I'll understand it then. But until there, I know all things work together for the good, so I'm just going to accept that right now. And that strengthens me in and of itself. Last of all, sorry for talking so fast. I feel like I'm selling somebody a car. I'm talking so quick. Last of all, God will always supply. I want you to hear this now. God will always supply sufficient grace. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Hey, I can do some things. I can do all things. Let me say it one more time. I can do what? Through who? Christ, which strengthens me. All God's people say it. All right, I'm going to stop with that.